This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Olivier de Riviere, and it is so wonderful to have a chance to talk with you again. This time, we're talking about your soundtrack for Vampire.
Welcome to my little place. I mean, you don't see it, but in Paris. Thank you for having me on your show, Kate. And yes, we're talking about Vampire from Don't Nod.
I had such a wonderful time talking with you at GDC about Get Even, and your music for Vampire has the same kind of richness. And we were talking before the tape started rolling about how much you enjoy working for studios like Don't Nod that aren't AAAs, but they give you a lot of freedom to write the music that's really meaningful for you.
Yeah, exactly. I think nowadays the video game proposal is very wide, and you have from indie developers that are just one person to 1,000 people, even more, on games such as GTA or Assassin's Creed, and to be a composer, for the biggest titles is somehow it's very thrilling, because you know that you're gonna do something on a big budget game, and everybody will talk about it, and it has happened to me a little times, but the thing is, concerning creativity, I think that all of the AAAs, not every AAAs, but most of them, are sequels or, established into such a genre that it's difficult to offer something quite original. Not to say that it's not good, but to say that you are a little bit stuck into what the conventions are asking for. So games such as Vampire or Get Even, or anything that I've been doing after I was done with Supernova, which was like a big budget, but the game didn't come out. That was surprising. I decided to go to a lower budget. It's not like indie per se. They still have some budget, but they have much more freedom in what they're doing. It's much more risky. And for music, yes, I am totally free to do whatever serves the game.
That is so cool. Well, Vampire has such an interesting setting. It's set in London in 1918, which is right after World War I, but it's during the outbreak of the Spanish flu. And Dr. Jonathan Reed, who is a battlefield medic, kind of wakes up, comes back to life to discover that he is a vampire. So there's a lot of material to work with there, and I'm wondering how early in the process you were brought in to start creating the music.
Well, actually very early, and so early that I was called before I did Get Even. So I started with Vampire, then I did Get Even, then I went back to Vampire, because the game was, it's a very ambitious game for such a small, if I may say, studio that Don't Nod is. Because what they've been doing is a semi-open world. It's a completely, I think, revolutionary way of dealing with NPC, the way you need to kill them to gain XP, but you can also spare them, but the game is different. I mean, it's very interesting, and it's a very new approach, I think, in gameplay, but it took them a lot of time. So when we first discussed the game, it was like on paper. And they were, mentioning a lot of, the fact that few games before them, were happening in Victorian London, not to mention Assassin's Creed Syndicate and all of that. And so they wanted to go away from anything that was close to, the style of the music that was there. And basically, they said, no orchestra, no orchestra, no orchestra. And I was like, oh, good, because, I know it sounds weird. And when you'll learn what is my next game and what I've been doing, you'll laugh. But it's, it's fair. But I'm not an orchestra guy per se. I love orchestra music. I'm classical trained. But then, I said, oh, okay, let's go electronic. So this is what we wanted to do, to create something that was more textural and darker and gritty, because, after the flu and during, it's everything happens at night. And you're a vampire, so it was like, it made sense to do something quite, I'd say, disturbing.
Well, and the industrial sounds that you put in there, Whitechapel is a cue that really got me, partly because of the history of that area of London. That was Jack the Ripper's hunting ground. And so the industrial sounds there just really kind of amplify the loneliness and the terror of being out in the city at night. But then in addition to that, you also brought in some acoustic instruments, the cello and the bass flute and the cimbalom. And so as you were developing the music, I mean, we can go instrument by instrument if you want. I'm so curious about how you chose those particular instruments to also, you know, represent the characters and then the city of London.
Yeah, true. What happened was that after we discussed, you know, about all the industrial sounds that are, and as you can hear in Whitechapel, the sounds are not like just texture. They're alive. You know, they're in motion. It's a lot of motion. It's not like just a texture like that stays as a sustain. So I told them that it's great to have music like this, but it's rather, let's say, passive music in terms of narration. You know, so it puts you into a mood, certain mood, but it doesn't tell you anything more than just, you know, setting up the atmosphere and all of that. And as a composer, I'm much more about thematic music and, you know, I like to add some sense to everything that I do. Not to say that I don't do, you know, wallpaper music when it's needed, but the thing is, because of the main character, loneliness, he's just alone in the night and he's a newborn, you know, he's a vampire, just, you know, you start the game, he just turned as a vampire. I said to them, and he's a doctor as well, so he has like both, you know, sort of hats, like, a, you know, someone that saves lives and and someone that kills people. So so the thing was that we wanted to capture this, and I said, all right, let's use live musician, because all of a sudden it will give the game this extra feel that is so humane, you know, that was needed. And to choose a cello was because of the main character is a male, number one. And number two, cello is overused, you know, in many like soundtrack. You can hear cello here and there, but I doubt you can hear cello the way you hear it in Vampire. You know, it's a very unique take on how you can play cello because of the performer and the music also.
Yeah, it's incredible that the cellist, Eric Maria Couturier, he's just incredible. And the sounds that he gets from his cello are amazing. There's that very, very opening sequence when Jonathan comes back to life, be born again. And the sounds that he gets from his cello, I mean, they really sound human. How much of that was spontaneous and how much of that did you write out ahead of time?
Well, the thing is, the first thing that happened is the meeting with him, you know. So we met and we discussed about the music, and I told him exactly what I'm telling you. I said, listen, I don't want a beautiful, lush cello. I don't want this, you know. And he's not this type of, you know, performer. But I said to him that I had some ideas, but sometimes you cannot write them down. I mean, because, you know, the technique is so unique that you need to ask the player, you know, how do I write this? And instead of going this way, what we happened to do sometimes was that I would write the music as he was sitting next to me in the studio and say, okay, do this, do that, do this, do that. And he would show me what he could do with this idea. And so all of a sudden, you know, we created a lot of textures and a lot of, let's say, techniques that he knew for himself, you know, but he was using those techniques on my music. And it gave, you know, this sort of moments that when you wake up, you know, as a vampire, you get like, I don't know how he does that. He's a miracle.
Thank you.
There were times when I kind of feared for his cello because it just sounds like he's pushing it so hard.
There is a story. I mean, that's something that I didn't tell anybody. It's when he played the cello, so he was like very harsh on the cello and very, you know, strong. And at some point he said, oh, hold on 1 minute. I said, all right. And then he added two rings to his finger, like rings, you know. And I said, what's going on? And he said, it will change the sound. I was like, you're kidding me. He said, no, listen. And because of the two rings, because it made his, you know, hand a little like unbalanced or I don't know what, you know, it was right. I mean, the sound was even different, you know. So he has such a knowledge of how to get something out of a cello that is nothing you've used to, you know, that, you know, I was so happy. And we spent, I don't know how many hours together, you know, working on the soundtrack. It was fantastic to spend time with him.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, he must be really comfortable playing really contemporary music, maybe not music that's being written for him in the studio while he's there, but he's a member of the Ensemble Intercontemporain of Paris, and so he probably is pretty comfortable with anything that you would have like thrown at him.
Yeah, and I think he threw at me much more ideas that I could come up with because he knew better, you know. That's the thing, and this is why also I wanted to work with him, you know. It's because as a composer you cannot know everything, you know, that's not possible, of, you know, every technique or every instrument, you know, of course if you study, but you know, to such extent that sometime you're like, okay, so for this, for sure, you know, I didn't know enough. You know, I've been working a lot with cello, I've been working with the cello quartet, you know, in Boston, the Boston Cello Quartet, so I know how cellists can do miracles, but him, you know, it's in another dimension that the classical trained, I might say, you know, that we're used to hear when we go to concert. You know, he takes to the, not a next level, it's just a different layer.
Yeah, the thing that I've always loved about cello, I played it for a year and then I switched over to flute, but the thing that I really love about it is that it's basically in the same range as a human voice. And one of the cues where I could really hear how human he was making it sound is the funerals. It sounds so heartbroken and it's like this really husky human voice. So I'm wondering, I mean, this isn't a question, but was that one of the pieces that you were collaborating on in the studio to get that sound?
No, I mean, the thing is, as I was writing this cue, my grandmother died.
Oh.
And yeah, and so, you know, it was a weird moment in the production because, you know, Vampire is about death. And then, you know, there's this big sequence where... So I don't want to spoil anybody, but, you know, there is a funeral at some point. And you know, I couldn't help myself but thinking, okay, I'm going to go to a funeral myself, you know, soon enough. And I started writing this, and it's very simple, you know, music. But you have to perform it in such ways. I mean, it has to come from your heart. And I could not be, you know, Eric Maria. I couldn't tell him, oh, feel this, feel that. You know, it's not like this. You know, I told him, listen, this is music for a funeral. And, you know, for most of Vampire's music, there is no click. So it means that do it as you want, you know, and you're just on your own. There is nothing, you know. So I'm very glad you got a good, let's say, impression of this cue because it's a very personal cue as well.
Thank you.
it really, really struck me because, again, the heartbrokenness of it, and the duality, I think, of the character is so interesting because, as you mentioned, he's a vampire, so he needs blood to survive. And the idea of the game, you know, you can go around killing everybody and get XP that way to get the game going and make it easier for you, or you can sit and talk with people. And so that duality, I think, is really interesting. And so, again, you really captured that with the cello. And I mean, there are times when it sounds like the cello is almost fighting with itself. And so what I'm wondering is, did you start to feel a lot of sympathy for Jonathan?
Well, that's the thing, all right? It's when a lot of people talk about music as if it was emotions, you know, and it is emotions. I'm not saying, you know, it's something, I mean, it's obvious, all right? But the way that I see and I feel myself, and I think we do, you know, feel emotions, is never clear. It's never like simple. It's never like, you know, anything that is good always has something else with it, and bad is the same. I mean, if you're jealous, per se, you know, it's you're enraged, you're angry, but you're in love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's everything's complex, all right? And so Jonathan is having a very hard time with his emotions, you know, and he's struggling. But the struggle is for everybody. I mean, and this is what, you know, made my life easier writing the score for Vampire, because I was like, okay, we always want to do the good, but you know, sometimes we know that it's bad for somebody, but it's going to be good for you, or good for the people but bad for you, and you're torn. You don't know what to do because, you know, you need to take decisions, and this is the whole game. The game is like that. That's something that I didn't start, you know, writing for sure, because the first thing that I did is write, you know, I wrote the main theme and all of that. But then discussing with him, and he was playing the theme, and he was like, oh, but I can do double strings. And I was like, oh, double strings, yes, that's a good idea. And we ended up thinking, okay, so there's the beast. So it's like the low string, like round staying on the D. I don't remember the key. It's been too old now. But like maybe a low D, you know, and on top he would do, you know, the theme. And so that would be the beast, you know, trying to get to the humane, you know, and the human trying to scream out, you know, and trying to get away, but the beast is always there. So we played a lot afterwards. After the first recording, I think this is when I started to put double string everywhere, you know, in the score. We'll be right back.
it's really powerful. And I know that, you know, playing it myself, and I've heard other people say, I'd make a really bad vampire because I don't want to kill anybody. And because we're, I mean, pretty much hardwired to do the right thing. So,
but Kate, if nobody caught you, would you steal this thing, or would you do that if nobody sees you? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, you know, with how we behave. It's like, it's because we're going to be judged, okay? By something, our conscience, of course, you know, but also by people, you know, and vampire is about that. You're like, I don't want to eat this guy, but if I do, I'm going to get some XP or this, and the game will be easier for me. Nobody will see me do that. Should I do it? You know, it's all about this. And I like that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you had mentioned in an earlier interview that as the game progresses and as you play as Jonathan, if you kill more people and get more powerful, the music gets darker and darker. How did you do that exactly? How did you make it darker?
Well, that's the thing with me, you know, forget even I went so far. I think it was a crazy project. And for Vampyr, you know, I also tried to enhance the player's experience with the music. And the thing is, in Vampyr, when you kill people, the more you kill people, the less the district has good health. You know, it's going to be like, like mediocre and then bad, and in the end, you can lose the district to become, you know, completely loose, and you have monsters in, you know, in the district. So, I wanted the music to support that. So basically, what happens is that when you start in any district that is healthy, you would have a cello, you know, expressing himself with some industrial textures, and the more you kill people, the less the cello, or the darker the cello, and the harsher the industrial texture, up to you know, the very end when it becomes almost just a underground, very deep, low, no chords, no nothing, like texture that goes like brr, 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 like this, you know.
That's really powerful. I mean, and that actually would be kind of a great reason to replay it, to just get the different sounds. And it's also interesting because if you kill a character that you've been talking to, that ends their storyline too. So I suppose it's possible to play through the game and completely miss some of the music that you wrote?
Let me think. Well, so if you don't kill anybody, you won't get the dark music for sure. If concerning storyline, I think, you know, although it's a very organic game, the story is quite linear. The main story, I'm saying, up to, you know, certain nods or anything, but you will always end up at the same place with the same people, you know, at the same moment, whatever you do. So I don't think the narration for sure would change much. So the music didn't need to change much. There is, at the very end, of course, you know, some consequences. So the game like goes into branches. So you might get something a little different, musically speaking. But overall, but it was a lot of music. I mean, it's over 3 hours of music, you know, to cover the game.
Wow. And you chose the bass flute, which is such an interesting sounding instrument. And that represents one of the older vampires, this wonderful, very interesting woman that Jonathan encounters. And Emmanuel Ophel was the flute player. Why did you decide that that was such a good fit for this character?
Well, in every soundtrack that I do a sort of a, I don't want to say homage or anything like this, because it's not that, you know, it's rather a, I do it purposely. Like, for instance, in Remember Me, nobody knows that. Okay, nobody. But there is a obvious ripoff from Lord of the Rings, because I was working with John Kalender, the mixing and recording engineer for Lord of the Rings. So I made a sort of a private sort of, you know, I don't know, share with him, you know. It was like, and it was so funny because he said, "Oh, that's Lord of the Rings." And I was like, "That's for you." So anyways, so nobody can catch it, because afterwards, you know, I post-process the music, so you cannot hear it. But then for Vampyr, when I was a kid, I mean, not a kid, but like a teenager, I watched Dracula from Francis Ford Coppola, and the music made such an impression on me. I mean, it's one of the few soundtracks that I bought, you know, and listened to and be like, wow. I remember staying at the Boston a symphony orchestra concertmaster's place and telling her, listen to this music, you know, the Dracula's music is so good. And she was like, yeah, that's good. You know, so it's been with me for a long time. And so when I came up to this game, I was like, oh, and the lady, you know, Lady Ashbury, that's her name, you know, came in. I was like, okay, I need to do this. It was too strong. So it's a reference sort of, you know, to the soundtrack, but also to, you know, give to this character, Lady Ashbury, a different flavor from, you know, your own, the cello, and also the other vampires. Ugh, I don't know how to say it anymore. But so she has her own sound, so you can identify, and it becomes very iconic. And the flute creates such a interesting sound because it's a bass flute. You know, it's sort of very mellow, like a little dark, you know, but very sort of feminine at the same time and reassuring. That's what I liked. You know, you sort of feel safe when you hear it, you know, which is great.
And then the cymbalom, and I have to say, I have never heard a more sinister sounding cymbalom in any music. You know, it turns up a lot in music by Zoltán Kodály and Béla Bartók, and it's mechanical. And I'm wondering what it was about that sound that, in your mind, kind of represented this early industrial London.
This is something that maybe I made up, okay, in my mind, but I thought that it was the sound of the last century, so, you know, 20th century, for London. I don't know why, but like early, all right? Because there was this show as well with the James Bond, Roger Moore. He was like in a show, and I think it's Lalo Schifrin that wrote the score. I don't know who, but there is a cymbalom, and it's happening in London, and I don't know, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's the sound. And it made sense to me. And if not to any other people, I'm sorry. But, you know, to have that for London, you know, I was like, okay, it puts you, I mean, it put me for sure, puts me into this sort of old London that was not Victorian, but rather more modern, you know, like the first time of industrial era, you know.
Yeah, yeah, because it is, if you've never seen one, it's sort of like the just the strings of a piano and the harp. Yeah. And it, you hit it with mallets, so
yeah, it's not Western instrument. It's from India. I mean, I don't know exactly where it comes from. You know, the idea or all of this. I don't know exactly. You know, the history of the instrument. I'm sorry, I'm very bad at that. But for sure, you know, it made on me an impression. If you go and look at the last movies, like Sherlock Holmes movies, I think it's Hans Zimmer that made the music. You have cymbalum. So I'm not so wrong, I think.
No, not at all. And the way that you processed it, too, is really interesting. It must have given you a lot of options, you know, once you even had recorded it, to kind of mess with it and then put it in with the industrial stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing that I like the most, you know, like record things and play with that. That's the best thing ever.
Brought in this incredible choir, the Vox Futura, and oh my gosh, the thirst, that cue where we hear them is just terrifying, really, because it just goes with that really kind of dreamlike sequence where he hasn't really realized what's happening to him, and everything is very stylized and a bit blurry, and what language are they singing in?
They're singing in Gaelic. It was translated by somebody that knew Gaelic, you know, from the writer of the game. And the luck that I got was that when I recorded them in Boston, it was like maybe almost 3 years ago. It's the first thing that I recorded for the game. And I said to the singers, listen, it's Gaelic. I don't know how to pronounce things, so we're going to maybe, you know, do something wrong. And guess what? Like, three of them, there were four, knew Gaelic because one of them, her own husband was like fluent in Gaelic, you know, and so she knew everything, and the other ones knew as well. So I was blessed, I guess. And the thing is, the thirst, is the expression of, you know, a unsatisfying need for anything. So it could be blood for sure, for it's a vampire game, but you know, it could be anything. And it goes, and you know, anybody that is addicted to anything and listen to this song could hear, you know, its own guts calling, you know, for whatever he's or she is addicted to. You know, it's like coming very slowly, you know, and asking you to, you know, do it, you know, to take it, to do whatever, you know, in your, let's say, power. Even if you're, if you don't want to do it, you will do it. That's it.
It's really, really powerful, and the way it just, the intensity ramps up. It's like you almost can't stand it. It's just really.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm glad to.
Well, you've written music for some pretty dark games, and I'm wondering what it is about those games. What kind of, you know, psychology you get to explore, or what it is about the music that is appealing to you to write for those sorts of games.
Well, you're right. Lately, I've been doing a lot of dark games, and the next one is much, much brighter, and it's almost fun, but still there is darkness. But then the next one is even darker. So anyways, but I think two things. Number one, it's dark games. I mean, Vampyr for sure is very dark, and you know, it's monsters and all of this, but it's about death rather than monsters. You know, it's about our own condition. It's about, you know, struggling between a need and a conscience, you know. And this is something that I very much like, you know. I really much enjoy trying to understand the human psyche and to transmit this into the music. So it was the same for Get Even or, you know, Remember Me or all of that. If you're listening to the music, it might be complex if you compare to a lot of soundtracks, and I understand why, you know, it might not be as appealing than, you know, other soundtracks, but it's okay. I mean, it's just because I'm trying to express something that is complex, and dark games, I think they try to explore that. I mean, Get Even was very, very complex, like psychology, and it was very interesting, very, very moving, you know, and yet terrible, a big drama. So dark games, I mean, it's not about killing zombies and, you know, it's not like Doom or all of that, you know, it's not like having fun with that. It's much more exploring, human psyche, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, what does it do to your psyche? I mean, do you have to like take a break and leave the studio and go sit in the sun for a little while to kind of get your equilibrium back? I mean, does it take any kind of a toll at all writing this dark music?
Well, funny enough, no. It's a relief, you know. No, because you know, it's like if you're in therapy, for instance, if you see a psychiatric, psychologist, or whoever, you know, like a priest or, you know, whoever you want to talk to about yourself, okay, about your problem, your issues, you know, I think this is what I'm doing with the music, you know. I can explore my own issue, you know, like talking about death. I mean, this is something, it's difficult, you know, to talk about this. And you can hear in Vampire, you know, the whole soundtrack, I mean, there are some cues that are very, very difficult to listen to, or very like broad in terms of, you know, it starts somewhere and it ends somewhere else. And the expression, and, you know, kudos to Eric Maria. I mean, he very much, you know, understood what I was trying to say, you know, so I'm very happy with the result.
And I know you put a lot of work into, a lot of thought into creating a soundtrack that's just not cues from the game. I mean, you take a lot of time and create an album that really covers the story arc of the game. And what sort of decisions did you make, or what was your process for putting this soundtrack album together?
Yeah, the thing is, one of the very first game, not very first, but like 10 years ago, a game called Alone in the Dark got published by a music label in Hollywood. And they told me this. They said, listen, you don't want to do something that is over 55 minutes. And you don't want to put music that is just ambient tracks. I mean, it was not the trend at the time. Maybe nowadays it's, But they said, you want the listeners to get, you know, from the beginning to the end, the full experience of the music, so therefore the game. But, you know, to tell them a story, you know, to bring them from one point to, you know, another, and take their hands and be like, okay, let's go together. So this is what I've been doing since then, because I believe that this is a sort of an extension of what you're going to experience in the game. You know, it's like, okay, you can listen again what, you know, you experience in the game. But also, if you're listening to the music without even having played the game, you can sort of, you know, not understand maybe everything because it's not obvious, but at least you can feel, you know, what's going on. You're like, oh, now it's becoming darker, and now, oh no, it's, I feel relieved, all of this, you know. So this is why, you know, I had to handpick the ones that made sense, you know, while listening to the soundtrack.
And I know that when you hand the stems and cues to the studio, they're not really in a form that makes a complete track for a soundtrack. So was it difficult to assemble everything and make each one like a complete track?
For Vampire, let me think, yes and no. It was okay. It was not as complex as Remember Me, for instance, or Get Even. But Vampire was okay. It depends how you start, you know, thinking about the music function in the game. Like, okay, is it very close to the action? Is it a little like disconnected? Is it completely disconnected? Is it just cinematics? You know, so I believe for Vampire, it was kind of easy to make the album, you know, if I may say.
Yeah, well, and it's available through Apple Music and Bandcamp and any place else people could find it.
Any digital platform like Spotify, Deezer, whatever, you name it, you get it.
Okay. And how can people find you? How can people get in touch with you with social or your website?
Yeah, I have Twitter. You can, you know, look me up, Olivier de Rivière, for sure. And Facebook also. I'm much more active on Twitter. But you can always send me an email. You know, I'm trying to answer emails. I'm sorry if I don't, like, right away. And I'm sorry if I forget. Just, you know, send it over saying that you already sent an email. but no, I want to answer to people, you know, and to, because, you know, they made the effort. So I want to do, you know, to be respectful.
Yeah. Well, Olivier, it has been so much fun talking with you. It always is. And I really appreciate your time and all the great stories about your soundtrack for Vampire. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me. And, you know, I always enjoy, you know, talking with you and sharing this, and I'm very happy. And thank you if you're listening to this, you know, thank you. And play the game. That would be the best thing to do.